Welcome to Coffee with the Coaching Revolutionaries from thecoachingrevolution.com.
So, welcome to this episode of Coffee with the Coaching Revolutionaries. And I am very fortunate today to have a very special guest with me. So, not only is she a coach and a Coaching Revolution mentor now, as well as having been a Coaching Revolution mentee, and somebody who took our ICF accreditation, but she is also my oldest friend. Hello, Helen Clare.
Hello.
As that bit's always really odd, isn't it? The fact we've known each other for 50 years this year.
Half a century does not seem quite possible, really, but...
No. So Helen and I went to primary school and secondary school together, and then completely lost touch when we were 18, lost touch for several decades, and basically got back in touch about 8 years ago, didn't we?
Like that, yeah.
And what's really interesting, and it was Helen who pointed this out, is that we think we've evolved so much. We think we've changed, and yet in actual fact, she's still Helen Clare and I'm still Sarah Smith. So Helen, you're a coach, but you're not just a coach.
I am a menopause coach.
You are a menopause coach, but you do lots of things. What else?
Lots of things. I'm also an artist, a tutor, biology tutor, an occasional poet these days.
Yeah.
Lots of things.
Okay, so when Helen says she's a poet, she means like, you know, like a real published one, not just somebody who jots stuff down on occasion. And when she says she's an artist, she's created some amazing stuff and delivered all sorts of community art projects as well.
Yeah.
So how does somebody go from being a teacher, then a tutor, and an artist and a published poet to being a coach, a menopause coach?
Well, the thing is about this, that to other people, all those things seem very different. And to me, they seem exactly the same.
How are they the same?
Because at the heart of them all are two things that have fascinated me since I was tiny. One is biology and how, you know, bodies work from the biggest level to the littlest level. And the other is communicating.
Words, yeah, absolutely.
It's those two things that have kind of wrapped themselves around each other in different ways throughout my slightly peripatetic professional life.
Great way of putting it. So, why are you a menopause coach? Why menopause?
Why menopause? One, because it's utterly fascinating. Two, because apart from being kind of appealing to the biology geek in me, it also appeals to the political animal in me, in that I see that women have been badly served in menopause provision for a long time, and it's time to do something about that. So as well as being a coach, I'm a blogger and I suppose an activist. Mm-hmm. It has become an absolute passion, so it brings together the political, the biological, and the people.
Absolutely. So I'm now jotting stuff down because you say lots of things that are really interesting and I don't want to forget any of them. Why is it political?
It's political because, let's be honest, if this happened to men, we would have been talking about it for the last 12 centuries or so. Chaucer would have written about it. Actually, I better check the wife and bath again because he might have done. So the fact that it's not part of our conversations about ourselves and about how we age, and historically has not been part of our conversations. The fact that most medical research is done on male bodies because female bodies are inconveniently hormonal. So everything from painkillers to vaccines works differently on men and women, and we're only just uncovering that.
In the 21st century.
In the 21st century. So there's a sort of big information gap that's starting to be filled now about what goes on in our bodies and our brains, because it's actually mostly in the brain, during menopause.
Now, I know that the reason that this appeals, wrong word, the reason that this is so important to you is that you have had quite a tricky few years.
It pulled my life apart. It got me to a state where I couldn't work. I had very, very serious genitourinary syndromes, and now call it, it used to be called vaginal dryness, as if that was all it was, and then it kind of got turned into vaginal atrophy. We now call it the genitourinary syndrome of menopause. And what basically happens is, as your estrogen levels start to falter, the tissues of the bladder, the urethra, the vagina, the vulva, they lose elasticity, they lose strength, they are more prone to infection, they're more prone to irritation, to tearing and all sorts of things. And if it's not treated, and it's the number escapes me, but it's the majority of women above 50 who suffer from this in some way, shape or form. Now, it hit me about 42. It was misdiagnosed as vulvodynia, and I was given massive doses of medication that zonked me out and caused urinary retention. And I was going back to the doctor saying, but I feel like I can't pee all the time. And they were saying, oh, but that's the nerve problem. That's the nerve problem making you feel that. And eventually I ended up at a nurse. You know, sometimes you really want to find a nurse. And I said, I feel like I want to pee all the time. She said, well, let's see. Sent me to the toilet and then did a scan and said, you've got a full bladder now. So the medication was making me hold... I had a full bladder basically all the time for about 3 years.
Oh, my God.
I'll tell you how miserable that was.
Oh, I can imagine. I only need a full bladder for about 10 minutes for it to be extremely uncomfortable. That's shocking. And so what I'm hearing is that this is happening to women. Women are going to the doctors saying, I have this symptom, and they're not even considering menopause.
I think if they're still having periods, and if they're in their early 40s, symptoms which are the early symptoms of perimenopause are not being diagnosed. Women are being sent away with antidepressants, with painkillers, with a flea in their ear sometimes, quite frankly. Mm. When what they are experiencing are those first judders of their estrogen levels when it starts to go... Of course, it doesn't decline neatly when it starts to go a bit crazy.
Yeah, that's hugely interesting. So you became a coach and you realised that this actually was a way to combine your huge interest in biology and kind of menopause, because it's been a personal experience. And so how does that work? How have you found being a menopause coach and marketing a menopause coaching business?
One of the things that I realised is that I wasn't going to have a pure coaching business. Sometimes what I do with people is pure coaching.
Yeah.
Sometimes people need to know things. Yeah. Sometimes I've got lots of information which they need. Mm. So it has to come from my head into their head.
Yes. So sometimes it's teaching.
Sometimes it is teaching. Sometimes it is mentoring. Sometimes when I'm working with schools, it is facilitating, public speaking. It's a real hybrid sort of business. So the coaching skills fit alongside a lot of other skills and experiences.
Absolutely. So you dropped into there when I'm speaking in schools. So why would you be speaking in schools?
Well, one of the things that I realised as I started to look into this is that this is a particular problem for teachers. We're seeing a lot now of people starting to embrace the idea of having menopause policies. And the first thing they say when they're going to have a menopause policy is, oh, you can have flexible working. It ain't happening in schools, is it? If you have got children in a classroom, then you have to be there with them.
Yeah.
So flexible working is not an option. So kind of that puts the pressure on schools, and some schools, to be honest, just go, well, we can't do this, can we? We can't do menopause stuff. But actually, it's not all about flexible working. Sometimes it's about access to a toilet. Sometimes it's about those tiny breaks that allow you to refresh. Sometimes it's about making sure that the temperature of the school is right and the ergonomics of the classroom are working. It's about lots of things. And for some women, it's about minding your own business and letting them get on with it, actually. Yeah. We're all different in this. And what that means is that actually you have to take a step back and say, this is not, you can't solve a problem that you don't know you have. So you have to take a step back and go, how do we create a culture in a school where people know that it's okay to talk about problems that are associated with perimenopause, to know that they won't be dismissed or mocked, or that it might affect their career prospects and all those kind of things.
All their credibility,
absolutely. So it is about creating that culture in schools.
That's really interesting, because you just said something that made me think, what if they don't know it's perimenopause?
Absolutely. I didn't at first. I mean, this is the thing, you think, I'm telling you, I am a lifelong biology geek, and I didn't pick it up.
Yeah.
I didn't pick it up because I wasn't having hot flushes. Well, I was having hot flushes, but I was so fixated on the other thing, I didn't even notice I was having hot flushes. I put those down to just being a bit hot some of the time, which is kind of how a hot flush can manifest. I've lost my thread. There you go. There's another menopausal thing that's really inconvenient for teachers. The losing your thread thing.
Yes. We were talking about what if the teacher herself hasn't realised that these weird symptoms she's getting are menopause.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And particularly when a lot of them mimic stress.
Yes.
You know, a lot of it is because the way your brain's affected, a lot of it is an exaggeration of your moods, of your anxiety, of your sadness, of your anger. All those things can just be magnified, which is the last thing you want in a classroom.
Yeah.
Because you are really using your own calmness to suck up all the agitation that's in the room.
Hormones at the other end of the scale.
Absolutely. When you lose your own calmness, it's a very, very difficult job to do.
It is. It is indeed. So you became a coach, which added to your quiver of skills. This is a really interesting thing about coaching, actually, is that people kind of go, I'm a coach, instead of going, I have coaching skills. So just one of my little things here is that coaching is a skill.
Yes.
Yes, it's a profession, but actually coaching is a skill. And so what you've done with your business is combined it with all those other skills that you've got to produce somebody who is championing the middle-aged teacher.
I suppose so, yeah.
Which is fun.
And of course, as an ex-teacher myself, and I've spent quite a lot of time going into schools and working with teachers and heads as doing creative things when I work for Creative Partnerships. So it's just kind of like, let's just, and I think this is one of the things that happens when you are long time self-employed, is that you don't have a job title. You just have, as you say, your quiver of skills. And it's a case of which ones of those are you going to pick out on any particular day to do something that somebody needs you to do.
Something positive for the person sitting in front of you.
Absolutely.
So the way that you work with individuals and schools, how does that work?
It works as it works.
That's not an answer.
What it comes down to is what people need. isn't it? So working in school, there's a sort of, I suppose, again, a quiver full of things that people can access.
Yeah.
And they range from going in and talking to people and raising awareness.
Mm-hmm.
I run sort of menopause SOS sessions with groups, which is just like 90 minutes to kind of go, what's going on here? How can we get on top of it? And I also run those as one-to-one sessions as well. There's sort of an intense hour to kind of dig down, figure out what's behind the problems and actually start to have an action plan, basically. These are the things that you need to do to manage your menopause. I also work with school leaders to help them create policies and strategies. I also run group coaching series, which run over several months, which people can come in on, which again, the approach is generally a kind of a mixed problem solving approach, looking at what's going on in your body, how you make sense of it, what your choices are in terms of treatments, what kind of lifestyle things are going to make a difference, how this is going to impact on your work, your relationships, your sex life, your sense of yourself. So we go through and, look at all those things.
Because as you're talking, one of the things that I'm thinking is there should be an awful lot of middle-aged teachers, women teachers, and there aren't as many as there should be, are there?
There aren't. It drops off. I don't have the numbers to hand, but it drops off about 55. There aren't very many female teachers over 55.
And why do you think that is? Because of menopause?
I think the menopause is a lot of it. I think that that's a point where they just kind of go, I can't do this anymore.
Mm.
I literally cannot do this anymore.
Mm. And that's a shame, because that's like 30 plus years of classroom experience, and they really should be the leaders.
Yes, and they really should be the people who are mentoring young teachers coming into the profession with all those kind of years of experience. Mm-hmm. And they're lost. I mean, sometimes that can be a positive transition. Somebody can decide they want to go and do something else.
Yeah.
And it can be positive and exciting. But if it's crashing out of a job you love because you can't cope,
yeah, that's
pretty miserable.
Yeah, that is. And from the point of view of the school, you know, it's all very well having excited, new, vibrant teachers coming in. But when you're losing 30 years of experience with every woman who goes, I can't do this anymore, that's a devastating loss of skills and experience.
It's massive.
Mm.
It's massive. And these are very often women who are doing a lot of making a lot of contributions behind the scenes in terms of supporting other teachers, in terms of building relationships with children, in terms of the little things that happen in schools that nobody thinks about.
Yeah, the stuff, the oil that keeps the wheels moving.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I am the oil that keeps it all going.
Mm.
Many a middle-aged teacher could say that, middle-aged female teacher could say that.
Yeah, well, I think perhaps we all are in different ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
The wheels of the world.
Well, absolutely. So, and that's an interesting thing, because what happens to women after menopause? What do we do then?
Well, most of the postmenopausal women I speak to are having a great time. Which is not to say there aren't health problems that have to be taken care of. But once they're nailed, I think there is a new sense of yourself. And it comes back to what we were saying before, this thing that you go through this transformation, and because your emotions are heightened, you have this opportunity to examine things that are going on in your life. You make changes. You face a lot of things. You perhaps change your approach to taking care of yourself. Mm-hmm. And there is a different self, and yet it's that you feel utterly different, and yet you are still absolutely yourself.
Yeah.
And for a lot of women, it's quite a liberating time. One of the things we know about our sex hormones is that progesterone has a tendency to make us cooperative, and estrogen kind of has a tendency to make us a bit sunny. And the world needs uncooperative women.
Doesn't it just? So I'm aware that we've been talking and we need to wrap up, but something else has just sprung to mind. If we look back historically at what women are or how women are portrayed, we are either the virgin, the Madonna, or the hag.
Pretty much. I think you forgot the whore, but yeah, the hag's in.
The virgin, the whore, the Madonna, the hag, yeah.
The hag, the crone.
That's us.
That's us. And some people kind of embrace that word crone and quite like the thought of their cronehood. I'm not sure about that myself, if I'm honest.
No.
But there is a sort of an absence of the archetype. If we are not the fairy godmother or the wicked witch, who are we?
Yeah, that's really interesting, because I suppose that once you've let go of the part of you that's about reproducing, because that's what we're talking about here, isn't it? That, you know, that's now gone. That's a part of our lives that are in the past. Then what that gives us, especially now that we're living a lot longer than we used to, is an opportunity to kind of have another life, a whole other life.
Absolutely. So this is it. I went for a walk this morning to feed the ducks. Now, I really like geese, and the goslings seem to have gone. I don't know where goslings go, but it occurred to me that even geese do not spend their entire lives laying eggs. They just have this bit in the spring and then it's done for. And we do not spend our entire lives laying eggs. You know, that reproductive part of our life, if you count what comes after it and what comes before of it, is less than half very often. So there's this huge opportunity to have a life that is not about that, that is about something else, and that's really exciting.
It is.
It's about rediscovering yourself and your creativity and your passion,
and all the things that you used to care about, possibly that you re-care about now.
Honestly, I think, you know, 12-year-old me like? 12-year-old me like cats and making things and writing stories and learning about biology.
And guess what? Here we are again. Helen, if somebody's listening to this and they want to know how to get hold of you, how would they get hold of you?
Social media, basically. So easiest way to get hold of me, through my name, Helen Clare, on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter. You can also come and join the Effing Menopauses Facebook group. And that's EFFING, Effing Menopauses, which stands for Frank, Fun, Feminist, and Fact-Based.
So you're not going to talk about balancing hormones in there?
Nope. And I'm not going to talk about adrenal fatigue either.
Helen, it's been lovely talking to you. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're very welcome. I'll see you soon.
You've been listening to Coffee with the Coaching Revolutionaries from thecoachingrevolution.com. If you go to Facebook and search Coaching Republic, you can find our business building community, especially for coaches. See you there.